I'm not pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the Drive to Work, coronavirus edition. So using my time at home to do interviews with people past and present, and I have someone today that is both past and present. I have Bill Rose, currently the VP of R&D, but way back in time, the head designer and head developer of Mirage. Hey, Bill.
Hello. How are you?
There's not a lot of sense in magic, by the way, that the same person led the first part of it and led the second part of it.
That is true. I mean, it's actually a vision of Richard's and one that I adopted pretty early. We separate. We force people who have designed not to lead the set or vice versa. But we, you know, back in the day, Mark, when there were only like four of us doing everything, you know, we all worked on all products back. That was 95.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when we first started, like, there were four of us, and every development team was us. There was no who was this development team. It was us. So Mirage's origins predate you being a wizard. So let's go back to the very beginning of how did Mirage start.
We started working on Mirage before Magic was officially released in 93.
Okay.
So we were original playtesters with Richard Garfield and working on the game. And Richard had this idea of expansions. And I had a group who worked on Mirage, while there was another group that worked on Ice Age. They were both basically designed nearly similar times, though. The Ice Age and Mirage, the Ice Age designers and the Mirage designers sort of strategically went in different directions. But yeah, I mean, we were 93, we started, I think.
Okay, so your team, so I believe Menagerie, right, was its code name at the time.
Menagerie was it. I say 93, I think it was 92 when we started.
Okay.
Actually working on the set. Like, we started before Magic was published.
And I believe, so your team was, Richard had met you guys at a bridge club, right? Is that where your team met Richard?
Yes. Well, we had friends that were connected, but Richard played, the first time I met Richard is I had a good friend who was also a good friend of Richard's, and I didn't know Richard. And Richard came to a bridge club that I was playing. And that's like the first time that I met Richard. So that would be our connection. Yes.
Okay. So
and then we just started playing game. Like then we started blowing off school and playing games.
Who said playing games can't help you with your career? So.
Yeah, it did not help me with my GPA, but it helped me with my career.
Okay. So let's go to early days of Menagerie. So where'd you guys start from? Like, what was your starting point for making the set?
Well, back then, so the original vision was Richard would come out with what was Alpha, and then that whole set would be retired, and we would come out with another set. And that the idea was that the next set would be like 50% new and 50% old, kind of like what we used to do with core sets. Like, so people would just throw, you know, Richard almost was like, well, people just throw away their old cards and we'll do the new cards. And so Ice Age really had embraced that 50-50 model when they were in design. And the Menagerie was a little bit different. Well, of course, after Magic was released, very quickly, Richard and Peter came back and said, nobody's throwing away any cards. Just it's going to be all new. But it was really started there where we had this, you know, we would keep older cards. And then that influence, like we always had Giant Growth and Lightning Bolt. And there were a lot of, you know, sort of those staple cards. So the set like started out, it was like half Alpha and half new. And then over time just morphed more and more and more new, more and more and more new. The one thing I'd say that we did that was differently, and you can tell, like, now, if somebody who's newer to Magic goes back and plays Mirage, it's not a draft experience to today's standards. But when Mirage came out, it was like the best draft experience, and that's what we like. We were more creature heavy. We really designed Mirage from Menagerie, what it was called at the time, to be a great set to draft.
Yeah, that's...
Loved drafting.
Right. Historically speaking, Mirage did a bunch of things, but one of the things that Mirage really put on the map was the idea of limited as an important part of the game. Before that, like, we didn't really design the set to be played in limited. If anyone's ever played Ice Age Limited, it was not designed to be played in limited.
I mean, you had a collection of cards, therefore you could play it limited, but, you know, every now and then a 1/1 went the distance, and it was like, okay, how'd you die? Well, he played a 1/1. I didn't have any creatures, so I lost.
Okay, so how early, the sort of African theme, was that earlier or did that come later?
No, that was later. An art director, Suzanne Harkey. I hope I got the name right.
Yeah, Suzanne Harkey, that's right.
Kate, right, remember? And back in then, like now we design where the theme of the set and the design sort of happened at the same time and they're melded together. But, I mean, you know this, back in the day, like we designed a set and then we were like, let's choose a setting and an art, right? And so I remember Suzanne coming and saying like, I want to do this theme. And we were like, okay, seems cool. And then we moved forward with it. So when Menagerie came in, it was like generic D&D-ish alpha art. So we that was something that Wizards added. And then we just embraced.
Okay, so let's talk mechanics then. So the set had two named mechanics, flanking and phasing. So what do you want to start with? Want to start with flanking or start with phasing? Which came first? I don't know.
Phasing had the hard. I'm not sure which came first. Flanking came like we were doing more creature oriented, and we wanted to add, you know, a creature mechanic. And there was a point where I think where flanking came about. There was a point in design where we had a lot of 3/3 creatures. And the games weren't really fast. So what would happen was, like, it just, there was no real reason to play with anything smaller than 3/3. The small creature strategy just didn't work. And we were like, okay, how do we balance it out? And this is where we sort of came flanking. It came from my experience with wargaming of just like, you know, you just kind of, you know, you imagine these like medieval armies and the medieval knights and the, you know, the cavalry sort of went around the side. And it really started balancing our experience because now these 2/2s could both defend against, you know, 2/2s can gang up and defend against the 3/3 and they could also go off and attack.
Real quickly, for the audience that doesn't know flanking, I realize we're talking about old mechanics here. Flanking was a mechanic that said when you attack with a flanker, if you were blocked by any creature that itself didn't have flanking, it got -1/-1.
Right.
And
how did it work? Like conceptually, it was like, oh, like I have this creature on horseback, and if you're blocking with another creature on horseback, that's fine. But if you're blocking with like your giant ogre, they're going to be slow, and you know, it's more of like a mini. I mean, it's almost like a minis game type of thing.
Yeah, and the flavor was they were on horseback, which. Not everybody got, yeah. I bring that up from time to time, they're like, oh, I didn't realize that, but if you go look at the art, I mean, they're always on horse, or there is one centaur who is a horse, I guess, but.
Yes, right, so it was like, you know, like, right, it was your mobile army of the small army. And then with phasing, like, phasing was, like, phasing
oh, let me explain phasing, let me explain phasing, and then you'll explain where phasing came from.
Oh, yeah, you'll explain phasing.
So phasing, the idea of phasing is, or at least originally, is a creature with phasing would be in turn one turn and then be out of it would be in exile for the other turn. So it would go back and forth between being on the battlefield and not being on the battlefield for a turn. And it would phase in and out at the beginning of your turn.
Right. And it was a way to bring in big creatures without big math. Right. It was kind of interesting in also in gameplay. It's like, oh, I know my opponent is going to have their 8/8 this turn and two turns, but they're not going to have it in the middle, and what can I kind of do? But then it didn't work. Like, as we were developing phasing, we were also playing around with more Enters the Battlefield effects. Like Enters the Battlefield effects, and they really hit a high point in Visions, right? Which felt like we were just, it wasn't the first set that had Enters the Battlefield.
It was the first set that had Enters the Battlefield, yes. Okay. Visions. So just so the audience knows, if you said something that the audience doesn't know, I should fill in here. Mirage and Visions were basically, Menagerie was kind of both of them put together, right? If they were designed together.
Yes, they were. So the Weatherlight, it's Mirage, Visions, Weatherlight, and Weatherlight was designed after the fact.
Right.
But Mirage and Visions were designed to get, like Ice Age, Mirage and Visions were designed together.
Yeah, what happened was, this might be confusing you, Tempest independently did comes into Battlefield without realizing you guys had done it and had done it independently, but you guys had done, it got released before we released ours, and you guys made it before we made it because you made it earlier than we did, so we just didn't know you had done it.
There were no cards earlier than that that just didn't randomly have a when comes into play trigger?
I don't believe so. There's four in Visions, and I believe those are the four that put, at the time it was called, now it's called Enter the Battlefield. At the time it's called Comes into Play. CIP was the name back then. Okay. But that's the one put that on the map. Maybe technically there was something that did something, but as far as generating a magic effect, essentially, those were the first ones that did it.
Yeah, and the big thing with phasing is it just, I mean, back then the magic rules weren't logical. And when you combine phasing and these illogical rules, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's true.
It was a nightmare for Jordan to play.
Yeah, Mirage is pre-6th edition, so, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we would have a rules committee, and we'd make a ruling, and it would seem really right, and then, like, 3 weeks later, we'd have another issue, and you'd have a rules committee, and it seemed right, and then you'd look, and you're like, wow, both these rulings seem correct. But when you put them next to each other, they're the opposite of what they, and it just didn't work. It was kind of crazy. But anyway, those were the, it was an early set. We were very creature focused because Ice Age was so lacking of creatures, and creatures are so important playing Limited, and it was really like, I think it's, it had a lot of firsts. As you said, like Visions had the first comes into play creatures, and Mirage was the first true block, right? Like Ice Age later added alliances, and I think they.
But alliances wasn't made to be part of Ice Age. Just so the audience understands, we at Wizards did that. The designers had no plan for that to be true. We later sort of said, "Oh, this is a continuation." But Mirage was the first, right? Mirage is the first block. I do this thing I call the Ages of Magic, and it's the second age to me, because Mirage introduced blocks, it introduced Limited, and, Mirage really was a big stepping up of a lot of technology behind the scenes.
Yes. I mean, it was innovative for its time, but now, like, in prep for this, I looked back through some of the card files, and I'm like, oof. Our design we have come a long way, Mark. We've come a long way.
So here's one of my favorite, one thing that's funny when we look back is we were trying to make small incremental changes, which at the time were a big deal, right? We joke about Ice Age, but one of Ice Age's problems was there were just no creatures, and you literally won the game sometimes because you just had a creature and they didn't have a creature. And Mirage was said, hey, you know what? The game's about creatures. We should have lots of creatures. And, Mirage really sort of... it's neat looking back. I mean, I know that the Model T issue, like when you look back at Model T and like look at a Ferrari, it feels like, wow, the Model T seems pretty ancient, but you don't get to the Model T, you don't get to the Ferrari without the Model T being there first to sort of pave the way. Okay, so.
We're Model T.
Yeah, so let me ask, the next question is, you guys did, so back in the day, the people who made the sets did come up with the story. Later on, the creative team would make the story. But you guys did have a rough idea for a story, didn't you?
We did.
I know it probably better than you do, it sounds like.
You should tell it. You should tell it.
So the
I remember, like, Mangara.
Right.
That's
So the main core of the story, I'll just get the high points here, is that there were these different wizards. There were three wizards that had basically a big fight between them. And there was Mangara, there was Jor-El, and there was, who's the bad one? I'm blanking on his name. He's the black. Is it Kervek? Kervek. So Kervek, Jor-El, and Mangara, I think. And then Teferi has like plays a role in it, but doesn't want to get anything to do with them. But there's basically a war between three different factions. It's kind of how, where it started. And there's this big story, and then basically Kervek betrays them because he's the bad guy. And then Mangara gets imprisoned in the Amber Prison, and Jor-El and the company and the Weatherlight have to break out Mangara.
We were told by the editors that there were no designers used to do anagrams of their names to put in the set. And we were told under no circumstances are you to put in an anagram. So Mangara is an anagram of anagram.
Yes.
That was our thing.
You guys did, by the way, you did get an anagram. For all of you who don't put an anagram in, you did get an anagram in. So let's talk about the history of Talimtor.
Oh. This is, I don't, I'll tell a little bit of the story.
Well, tell the PG version of the story.
Talemtor is an anagram of Mr. Toilet. And that's because there was a great football player nicknamed the Fridge, played on Chicago.
Yeah, Perry was his last name.
William Perry. He was nicknamed the Fridge. So one of our designers said, "That's cool. We should all have a nickname after an appliance." And I said, "Okay, Mr. Toilet." And he was like, "He was the only one nicknamed." Anyway, we put it in. So it was just, like it was goofy times. I mean, we weren't very professional, so I can say. But it was back in the time, like we didn't really know. We designed Mirage when we weren't even sure that magic would be around when it came time to get the set published. Like, you had no idea. We had no idea. Now, you look back at it, you're just like, it seems absurd. Why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, but magic wasn't even out yet. Like, no one, it's hard to predict what happened with magic, right?
Right. Magic hasn't been released, and you're going to produce a set that's going to come out 2 years later. Who knows?
So do you have any other memories of Mirage? Thinking of like your elements of Mirage that you were proud of, individual cards or anything? Something that stands to mind?
Yeah, well, I have, it's a weird card. I don't even remember. I'm bad with names, and I'm especially bad when the playtest name. But we had like, we had this 4/4, you'll know the card. It's okay. Like, it's a red and blue 4/4 that does as much damage to you as it deals.
Yeah, hold on. I'm pulling the card up so that I can read it to the audience. Hold on. It is a 4/4. Let's see. I'm looking at the file right now. Blue and red. Not frenetic or free. That's a 2/1. Where is that? 4/4. Sorry, I'm searching through the file trying to find the card. Talk about it. I'll find it when you talk about it.
When you find about it, it was like, it's this 4/4 flyer that does as much damage. And people thought it was, I mean, it's not a good card. It was just a goofy card. And the story I remember is we convinced people in the office that weren't great Magic players that it was like, all the Pro Tour players were loving this card. It was like the card to victory. And they all would come back and be like, I have no idea how this card works.
Okay, so let's see. It's Emberwild Caliph. So Emberwild Caliph, yes. 2 blue-red, 4/4, summon Jin, flying trample. Emberwild Caliph attacks each turn of Fable. For each 1 damage Emberwild Caliph successfully deals, lose 1 life.
Yeah,
that is the card.
I mean, I, to be honest with you, Mark, I mean, this is like 25 years ago. I just remember the drafts and the creature battle. Like, to me, the fun part of Mirage, we would draft Mirage like every night. We just go in, we draft, and we change cards, and we draft again.
How did you draft? What draft did you guys use? Did you use Rochester? How did you draft it?
We did a booster draft.
Oh, we did booster draft. Okay.
Like, yes, before Magic, because Richard and Scaff had thought about this booster draft before Magic was released, and they showed us booster draft, and we just loved it. So we were... Yes, we were booster drafting Mirage cards before Magic was released.
Yeah, people ask a lot about Limited, and like it was part of Magic, the idea for Magic very early on, like right before it was released, obviously.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, I don't think so much with Alpha, but like with like that's really where Mirage put its focus. And then I think after Mirage kind of put a stake in the ground. And every set since Mirage has just been better. It limited.
Well, we keep iterating, right? So each set learns from the set before it and improves upon it. So
right, but every set has been committed to limited.
Oh yes, yes.
Right? I mean, like before Mirage, like try to play limited with Legends. I mean,
holy moly! Yeah, if you get an enchantment out. And it's not an enchant world. You have to go to rare to get rid of it. I mean, you can bounce it with Boomerang, I guess. Yeah. But so,
yeah. So I mean, you know, for us, it was like a lot of what we did with design was focused on limited tech. You know, it was really an ex. We were trying to produce the best repeatable, fun, limited experience that we could. Like, that was really the effort of the set.
So you had
at the time.
You had the unique perspective that you worked on it before you came to Wizards, and then you also worked on it once you got to Wizards. So.
Right. In fact, I was recruited by our good mutual friend Joel Mick to come and work on it at Wizards after I worked with Joel. Joel was my partner, the second lead designer of Mirage when we were in Philadelphia, and then had joined Wizards as I guess he was lead designer at the time, then became, you know, vice president of marketing, and Joel recruited me to come and lead the development of the set. I mean, the boring stuff, but we were all smart people, but like nobody knew how to like actual work in a real work environment. So there were some struggles. I mean, there's a reason why the year before we only were able to get out like two sets, Ice Age and Alliances took forever to publish.
And so, Alliances didn't come out until the next year. Homelands came, I guess. There was Ice Age and Homelands came out. Alliances took a little while.
Yeah, I was brought in as much for business as I was for design.
Yeah, so I
remember. Because, again, like, we won as a player. It really, like, you know, I remember talking with Joel. We were like, as a player, who wants to wait 9 months for the next set? I mean, that's like, that's torture. So we were able to come in, and then with Mirage and Visions, we set up the block. It was really fun to draft. And then, you know, Tempest came on, and it was another unique experience, which was really fun and had a block. And it really launched Magic moving forward, right? What you call it, like 2.0?
Yeah, the sorry, Mirage, it's the second wave is what I call it, sort of like the you know. It was a set that said, you know what, we're going to start doing things. We're going to have limited matter. We're going to have blocks matter. Like, it really, Magic started coming into its own as a little bit more organized in the early days. It was sort of all over the place.
And I would say, like, with the outside influences, like, with... Up till then, like, the designer really led, like, the designers and the developers just did the same set. And while I led both, people like you and Mike Elliott and William Jockish and Henry Stern, we really had two separate teams. So you had this second voice come in. And I think Mirage is probably the first set that had significant changes from design to publication because we brought in that second team.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it was the first set that had kind of a full development. I mean, there was some development before that, but it's the first set that had, when we think of a kind of a modern development, Mirage is probably the first set that had a modern development.
Right, because a card had to be liked by both halves. Like before, we used to get cards that would come in that were only liked by, I mean, if a designer liked it, they put their card through. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, I look back on very fondly, and I'm very proud of it. Even though when I look at it, I'm like, wow, it is the Model T.
Well, I mean, look, it's not. For example, I did a podcast last week with Richard all about Tempest, and Tempest has a lot of the same qualities of, hey, in its time, it was very innovative and did things that we hadn't done before. But you know, you look back now and like, okay, well, you know, it is a Model T. It's old and, but
the other thing we could see at the time is like, Ice Age alliances at the time were sort of pushing constructed play a little bit unhealthy, and then Mirage overcorrected, and then Tempest overcorrected.
Yeah.
So back then we were doing the cycle, like you would have one set that was a little too strong for constructed, followed by the next set, which was a little too weak. Mirage got the short end of the stick there.
So wave three is Invasion, and that's when we started getting real development in, so a little more like pro tour development and stuff started. I
worked on Invasion.
You did. You were one of the things I've always talked about is I think Invasion was the first time you were head designer, I believe.
And then with I have, it's funny, some of it by choice and some of it by luck, but you know, is Shards of Alara another wave for you?
I have to look at it. I remember there's like seven waves now. There's a whole bunch of them, but yeah.
Because I did Mirage, then I did Invasion, then I did Shards of Alara. So a lot of times there's like this, yeah. You know, we're gonna Magic needs a change, so I like go back. But I'm not designing any more sets.
Yes,
Alara was my last big one.
Yeah, one of the things that's fun looking back at Mirage, I mean, I have fond memories of us sitting around, you know, like developing Mirage. In fact, my nickname comes from Mirage, so that we can tell that story. If that were,
right?
Yes. So do you want to tell how the name Maro came to be? Do you remember this?
I mean, isn't it just from how we shorten names on the... on the server?
Yeah, you figured out the shortest number of letters you had to type so you could email somebody. MARO was the shortest you needed to get my name. That's what you had learned to be able to type to get my name. So when we killed a card and I came up with a card. And so you just wrote Maro on it because like I made it. And I don't think anybody thought that the name would stick, but that you put it on it and then it's some name kind of stuck, so... But
here's another thing, and I don't even know what it was, but any one word piece of flavor text likely came from me.
Oh, was catch you?
I can't even say on this, but yeah. You know, I would sit around and remember with Mike Ryan and we'd do a play test, and I'm not a great writer, but every now and then I would like give the one word, and he'd be like, yeah, we're going to use that.
Yeah, we did. We had a theme for a while where every set had a one-word piece of flavor text for a couple of years. So you were very involved in that theme. I'm almost to my desk here, so we need to wrap up soon. But any final thoughts on Mirage, looking back 25 plus years to your very first set?
No, I said it had fond memories working with the developers. I want to, you know, and... you know, it made me, when I thought about the set, just sort of the early people, and I mentioned, you know, Mike Elliott, Henry Stern, William Jockish, of course, you and me, Jim Lynn, Joel Mick.
Like, Scaff.
A lot of good times.
Scaff.
What?
Scaff.
Scaff?
Yeah.
Scaff was there. No, Scaff was going off doing other things. I guess Jim was, too. But I really look at the fun times we had developing these cards and just how we would, we would just like spend nights. I mean,
Yeah, we were there a
we
lot.
just worked on those sets nonstop. We had four people.
Yeah.
Remember, we had four people, and they said, like, "Do you think we have too many designers at one point?" I was like, "What are you talking
Yeah, it's
about?"
funny. You mentioned Henry. Henry didn't even start till Tempest, so Henry wasn't even on Mirage. Mirage was me, you, William, and Mike.
Oh, I thought Henry joined in early 96.
Henry's first thing, I think, was Tempest. I don't think Henry worked on Mirage.
He was early. But
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
me, Mike,
he
and
was, yeah,
William.
he was early, but not quite as early as you and I.
Okay.
Another
Well,
thing
I
is,
don't know.
another thing that's hilarious, a quick story before we wrap up.
It was an very great, it was a very interesting time because, we were all hired within 3 months.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You, I, and William started within a month of each other, I think. And then Mike started like in December. So we started in October and Mike started in December. But, right, it was all within a very short time period.
I started a week before you, so I got the computer.
You did. Well, Joel saved the desk for you. So I didn't, I, when I started Wizards, I didn't get a desk because we were moving soon. So they're like, just use other people's desks till we move. You got a desk. I did not. The,
Joel and I were buddies from before, so he looked out for me.
Yeah, I think, by the way, you technically started 3 weeks before I did, because you started early October and I started the end of October.
I started October 4th.
Right, I started October 30th. So it was, you were at the
Yeah,
beginning of the
so
month,
I
I was the
was
end of
there.
the month. So you keep, by the way, this is a funny story for the people that know this. Bill has a little thing, everybody who works at Wizards, and it was like a phone list from around that time. And whenever someone left,
It
Bill would
was from
cross them off. What?
Warren Wyman ha kept it, and when
Okay.
he left, he gave it to me.
Warren Wyman was the head of security way back when. But anyway, it's a list that he crosses off whenever people are leave. And I got crossed off because I started 3 weeks after him, so I'm not before Bill. So I got crossed off early on. So
There's only one person left.
is Charlie the only one ahead of you?
Charlie's still ahead of me.
So my claim to fame is because when I got started, one of my conditions for hiring was I wanted them to backdate my start date for all benefits. So on the computer, I started January 1st, which is ahead of Charlie started in February. I mean, not really, obviously I started in October, but on the books, in the record, I started it there.
On the books, you've been with Wizards and Magic longer than me, but on my list, I
Yes.
pulled out my black pen and you're
Yep.
gone.
I'm gone. That's true. Anyway, it was great talking with you. This is fun. I really, really enjoy talking old sets just because it's really fun to sort of go way back. So this was fun, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
So anyway,
Always good to
guys,
talk to you, Mark.
I can see my desk, so we all know what this means. This means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So again, thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
And I'll see all
So
of you.
long.
I'll see all of you next time. Bye-bye.